Once again, I just want to thank you for your presence this morning. Y'all pray for me this morning as I try to deliver this message this morning. Turn to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore come out among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. We can see where he's speaking really mainly about the appeal to this separation, but what we first started out with was where the believers is unequally yoked together. And that's talking about, I believe, in the marriage and also in the saving grace of God and being married to him. But here, the word separation means different things to different people. The dictionary definition is simple, to be set apart. The same word is translated elsewhere in the scripture as holy and sanctified. Now the concept of separation does not only include separating oneself from evil, but also involves the attitude of being set apart for the service of God. Separation is not first and foremost an outward act. It is an inward attitude of the heart. There are many religious groups who are considered to be separated because of things in which they do or do not participate in. Well, I know you probably have heard other people talk about it, but talk about there's some certain things that they won't do, but yet they go to a church that does not preach the unadulterated Word of God. They do not preach the Bible as it is to men and women as they are. We must realize that to be separated is not for me just to be separated from a group of people. But I must be separated from the world for the Lord Jesus Christ to use me. We can see over there in Acts chapter 9, talking about the Apostle Paul. Paul's background is well documented in the scripture. We know how Paul went and how he got on the road to Damascus. And he had a duty to do. We all have duties to do. We all have a job to do. And that job for us to do is for none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I've said and I've told you before, Jesus Christ is not here anymore. But he is here through us. But for as individuals looking and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, they don't see him. I don't see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face as they did, as Peter did, any days. But people can see Christ in our lives. But for people to see Jesus Christ in our lives, we must walk with him daily. We must just not walk with him a half a day. We must walk with him every second, every minute, every hour of the day. And we need to be separated from this world and from the people that we used to contact with. And it's not saying that we are not supposed to go to them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, if we don't go to the lost, and if we don't go to the worldly crowd out here and tell them about Jesus, they're not going to know anything about Jesus. But people use this word separation in a way to where that they have to separate themselves. They cannot go anywhere. They cannot go out here in the world. They cannot be around people that are not Christians. I've never figured that out. How do we know in whom we're speaking to at the time if they're Christian or not? How should we be able to tell? How should they be able to tell if we are Christian or not? If we're Christ-like? If we're serving the Lord? First of all, it should be through our walk. In whom we walking with? Are we walking with the world? Are we condoning what the world is doing? Uh-uh. They can see it in our walk. And thinking about that in the walk, I can walk up to an individual that I know is not saved. I can walk up to them as a Christian and I can tell them about a one that loves them more than their wife, more than their husband, more than their children, more than their mother and their father. And they'll look at you like you're crazy. How in the world could somebody love me that give me birth? There is one. And his name is Jesus, because he can give you the second birth and the final birth. And he loves you enough to where he went and he died for them. That's what Paul had come to. Paul had come to the point in his life that he knew that he had to make a decision. Paul knew he had to make a decision. He was going to be separated unto the life that he was walking with. And when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he knew right then that he had a decision he was going to have to make. Even after Jesus Christ saved him. Because when Jesus Christ, when the light from heaven, when the thunder come from heaven and it hit Paul, Paul went straight to the ground. I believe when the thunder, lightning, and the light shined upon Paul, Paul was saved right there. But when Paul hit the ground, he was saved. I don't believe there's no other death, nothing else we can say about that, that Paul was saved when he hit the ground. But Paul had to make a decision. When he got up, Paul was going to have to make a decision. Am I going to walk with God? Am I going to talk with God? Or am I going to just not do the things that I used to do? I'm not going to go and commit atrocity that I admit before when I had the Christian and the killed, and when I had the Christians, the synagogues tore down and abandoned. No, because, see, the reason Paul done that, because Paul became a Christian. And Paul, if Paul was going to continue on doing what he was doing and was not going to leave the job, then he was going to be the next on the list. I believe that. He was going to be the next on the list. Why? Because he told people what happened to him. Even the individuals around him, the men that were around him, the soldiers that was around him, they looked down on Paul and said, Paul, what happened to you? I ain't seen nobody hit you. What are you doing on the ground? You lazy for nothing bum, you need to get up. We got a job to do. Paul probably told him, says, no, we don't. We don't have a job to do anymore. They said, yes, we do. We got a job to do. I believe Paul could have told them this. Said that if we was back at the office and the one that handed me the papers this morning handed us all papers again, was you going to keep your papers? Was you going to carry out your job? When he gave me my papers to carry out the job, you know what I was going to do? I'm going to tie them up. I'm not gonna go and commit murder anymore. Because I'm a new creature. And I need to separate my life from the life that I was living. We can see that all of this that I've just said in Acts chapter 9, 1 and verse 1 through 9. And then we'll see over here in Luke chapter 15, 12 through 24, speaking about the prodigal son. We all know the story about what happened here with the prodigal son. He reached a point in his life that he didn't want to stay at home no more. He didn't want to do what mama and what daddy told him to do. So he went to him and he told him, he said, now I want my inheritance. I want you to give me what I rightly deserve. You know, his father could have come back and says, son, you don't deserve anything. You don't have no inheritance. Which inheritance we look at as when maybe our parents will pass away, and yes, and if they leave us any kind of goods or money or whatever, or stock or bonds or legacy of a testimony, we can say then we have got our inheritance. But until that happens, we don't have no inheritance. The only inheritance that we are promised right now, that I know that I'm going to receive, I know I'm going to receive these inheritance, is the inheritance that Jesus Christ has laid up there for me in heaven. But as far as inheritance down here, from my family and from my parents and everything, I am not guaranteed that. Are you guaranteed that you're that? Are you guaranteed that you're going to inherit the inheritance? Are your children, are they going to inherit the inheritance that you're going to leave them? Are you? Can you honestly say with 100% surety that you're going to leave all your children the inheritance that you have? If that's the case, then what you're saying is to yourself, I know more than God knows. I know more than God knows. Hey, what does he say? One day with him is like 1,000 years. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to be here. He could just take me home this evening. And then my daughter, she will not inherit anything that I have. Why? Because my wife is still living. I wouldn't inherit anything that my mother is going to leave me. If she has anything at all, I don't know what, because I won't be here to inherit it. We don't need to look for the inheritance that we have down here. We need to look for the inheritance that we have there in glory. In glory, where it speaks about over in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory. What kind of Shekinah glory am I talking about? I'm talking about the Shekinah glory that the Lord Jesus Christ can give us. That is a type of glory. But we know here also, and Luke with the prodigal son, he just went about his business. His father gave him his inheritance. Give him all the money that he had coming to him. And what did he do? He wasted it. He wasted it by going to the barroom, going to the honky-tonks, and everything else. He wasted his inheritance. He wasted it to the point that he didn't even have no place to go. He didn't even have, he was like, he was an individual that did not even have a place to lay his head. He was an individual, did not even have a place to where he could go to and eat a decent meal. He had to go to the trough. He had to go to the hog pen. He had to get down with the hogs. That was the life he was living. When he left home, that was the life that he was going to live. So if you go in it, and if you live with the evil of this world, then you can bet your bottom dollar that you're going to be with the evil of this world all around us, if we want to or not. I dare to say that prodigal son there
He did not see himself with no money. He did not see himself at the time to where he was going to have to go down and lie with the pigs, lie down in the waste of that land, and be able to eat the slop that the pigs was eating. But he had got to the point in his life that he was grateful for that slop. When he was grateful for it, he realized some things that he didn't have it as bad as he thought at home. He didn't have it as bad as he thought. Oh, yes. We as children, when we was growing up, no, we didn't want to do what our parents wanted us to do. We would disobey them once in a while on this and that. But yet, in the whole time that they loved us, they loved us enough to where they would go to work and work 8-10 hours a day, some 5 and 6 days a week. Who was they doing that for? They was doing that to where they could put food on a table where we could be able to eat. But yet we weren't grateful enough for that food. We weren't even grateful enough in what they'd done for us. Why? We didn't have no part in it. Now I can remember now. When I was still at home before I got married, we had a meal set for us, breakfast, lunch, and dinner that afternoon. If we in the summertime, we had lunch. Who fixed that lunch? I didn't fix it. My mother did. She slaved over it. And the only thing that she asked for us to do was, it was five of us. Four boys that was hers, and then one son that was my stepfather's. So it was five of us. The only thing she asked, and the only thing my stepfather commanded, that we would wash the dishes. One would wash, one would dry them. It did not hurt me. The only thing I felt like it was hurting my manhood, and I wasn't even a man. I thought I was. But here in Luke chapter 8, in verses 26 through 39, it's talking about the Gadarean, the one that was naked, the one that went through the tombs. All righty. Bye-bye. We'll be praying for you. The manic of the Gadarean. He roamed and naked through the tombs. He was not separated. Why? He didn't know Jesus Christ. He didn't know anything about being separated. Because he was a lunatic. We have a whole lot of lunatics today. We have a whole lot of lunatics as in churches today. Oh, yeah, they show up
They may not be, they may have clothes on. They're not naked in that sense, but they are naked because they don't have Jesus Christ and His righteousness clothing them. And while this wild man was going through the tombs there in the graveyard, you think he was walking? No. Said he lived there. He lived there, and when he was living there, when the next morning he would get up and see a new day, he would get up and he'd start running again. Running to the next place of where he's going to lay his head down that night. But one of them nights or one of them days, he met a man. He met a man that would change his life, that would clothe him. And this man's name was Christ. Jesus Christ. We can see him today sitting by the wayside. Yes, and we are beggars. And sometimes we beg for this and we beg for that. But the only thing that he wants to hear us beg for, he wants to hear us to beg more of him, to where we can go out here and tell people more about him. Not just tell them about me, but yes, I should not have to wear a shirt with Jesus saves, then have the cross on it, and then up under it have Faith Baptist Church, Ringgold, Virginia. I should not have to do that. I should not have to wear that. I wear around the house. My daughter just made me one like that, and I just wear around the house. I'm not going to wear it out. I don't have to distribute in the one that I believe, in the one that I trust. If I cannot do it with my walk, if I cannot do it with my talk, then the best thing I can do is stay home. We have people today, they depend on that t-shirt. They depend on that hat to let people know I'm a Christian. You know, thinking about that, we have more people today depends on that t-shirt. And the writing on it, and the hat, and the writing on that hat. They depend on more on that than they do Jesus. They don't depend on him no more. That's the reason they're living a life that they lived. But we'll see where not only this wild man here, he had met up with Jesus Christ. But we see where he was sitting, that the Lord Jesus Christ clothed him. He did not have to go and buy no clothes. He didn't have to go and go over and get some leaves or get a bunch of stuff and wrap around him. No, Jesus clothed him. just like God clothed the people in the wilderness. This man was bound with sin. He was chained to the sin of life. Satan, he chains and he wants to change. He wants to chain me and he wants to chain you to where we cannot be separated. Where we cannot be separated from him. That's what his job is. That's what his duties is. His duties is to get a hold of me and destroy my life. And if he can get a hold of me and destroy my life, then look at all the other lives that I and my life is going to destroy. You say, well, now that's Satan. Wait a minute.
Satan's not out here to destroy the individual out here is not saved. He don't have to do that. He's already got him. He's already got him by the throat. He's already got his chain around him. But what he's trying to do today, and he's doing a doggone good job of it, is destroying within the local church. And when he can do that, then the local, what's inside of the local church destroys the church. Not him. He's destroyed us. And I'm not Christian enough. I don't have enough of God on me to live a separated life to where when the Satan does come down on me and when Satan wants me to do this and wants me to curse God and die, do I have enough of Christ living within my life to say, Satan, get thee behind me? Because you are nothing but a liar. You're the father of all lies. My Savior does not lie. But you do. You're trying to destroy my life. To where my life, if it's destroyed, can destroy the people that's going up and down the highway. You say, how can that happen? How can you destroy thy life? Well, how many preachers that you know of in the past have just said, not no more. Not no more. Quit. There's no need in me doing. There's no need in me preaching. There's no need in me giving up my time. Because the people, they don't listen anymore. How many preachers you know of like it? I know of plenty of preachers. I know of one evangelist. And his son was an evangelist too. And when I got to meet this evangelist's son, which also ended up being an evangelist, where I met him at, right here at Faith Baptist Church. I can't even think of his name. But he lived in North Carolina. His daddy was a big man. Big man, tall. And his son wasn't quite as big as his daddy. But he was almost as tall. But I noticed something happened. Something went wrong in his life. Satan attacked him. Attacked him and he got a hold to him. And he had to give up his ministry there for several years. I think for about 4 or 5 years. And I understand that he just went back to preaching evangelism. But it's not in this area or no, in North Carolina. I think he moved. But I'm going to tell you one thing. But when he was with God, he preached with power. He preached with conviction. If you was not convicted when you come into church, when he got through with the preaching, some kind of conviction was on your life. It was on my life. But see, it could happen to me just as well as what happened to him. If I let my guard down, if I let my guard down, it can happen. We have to keep our guard up. Where is it at? Is it in the book of, I think it's in the book of Samuel or somewhere like that. It's talking about that we must keep a hedge about us, around us. We must always ask the Lord to put the hedge around us, that when Satan comes, says, Satan cannot get in. And I think with the hedge that is about us, and about me and about you, that hedge has been sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will not come over it. Satan cannot get to me unless he goes through the blood. I can allow him to attack me. And I can allow him to attack my mind. But he cannot get to my heart. He cannot take off. He cannot take away the plan of salvation. I believe once saved, always saved. I don't believe you can be saved today and lose it tomorrow. I don't believe that. Why would I want to serve a God that could not keep me saved? God saved me, and God saved me for eternity. And I know for a fact that God, if I turn my back on him, and if I say no to him. And we must realize something. When we say no to God, we're just not saying no to the Father. We're saying no to the Holy Spirit. And we're also saying no to the Son of God. We're saying no to the Trinity, the three in one. When that happens, we better watch out. Something's going to happen. We may not know what it is, but something is going to happen. And it's going to get our attention. It may not happen to me, but something is going to happen that's going to get my attention. But then it may be me. It may happen to me. But when it does, it's going to get somebody else's attention. This Gadarean, he came to his right mind then after he was saved. And after he was saved, he went home. And he just didn't go up to the door and turn the doorknob. He knocked on the door. wife come to the door. It don't say, I mean, I ain't found in the Bible where it says any of this. But I'm just putting this like that. I mean, it could have happened. I don't know. But his wife come to the door. And as she come to the door, she opened that door. And when she opened that door, she seen something different in his life. He hadn't even spoke to her, but she seen something different. He says, honey, I'm sorry for everything that I've done wrong. Everything that I've done to you and the children, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me for that? And no doubt she did. And she invited her husband in. Her husband that was anew, that had a new life. We can see it in so many cases through the Bible. We can take the case of them, and we can kind of read it. And what we need to do when we read it, we need to take and allow us just to meditate on it. And when we meditate on it, over in the book of Jeremiah speaks about meditation. Book of Jeremiah, he tells us if we meditate on him, that's just like eating the Word of God. Eating the Word of God. He wants us to meditate on it so much that we can feel and we can experience the Word of God being ingested into our life. Because the Word of God is what feeds the soul. See, the Word of God is digestion to the soul, like the food that we eat is digested to the system of a body to give us strength to go about and to do what God wants us to do. But that meditation to the soul, it helps us to maintain that goal that Jesus put us on. You know, we all have a goal in life. I don't know what your goal is, but I know what mine is. This is not a goal that he's given me. This is a goal that I would love for my life to be like. And that goal is I would love to be one of the finest and one of the best pastors that he has in his arsenal. My goal is to do what he asked me to do and not turn my back on him. I tell you what, I thank the Lord every day. I'm going to close. Because you know the Lord, he didn't have to. He didn't have to supply all the blessings to me. He didn't have to allow me to continue on pastoring here, even when I come down sick. And when I got to the point that I couldn't hardly walk, but you know, but I'm so thankful that God has given me a flock of people that just don't believe it. It's about them. It's about God. I know I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to stand up here before you each and every service. But I thank you. I thank you for that opportunity. What are you thanking me for? That's where God wants you. You're right. But you're the church. I'm just one individual. You're many. And I'll be honest with you. If I could not preach anymore, I just soon forgot to take me home if I couldn't preach anymore. I know I'd be leaving my wife behind and my daughter behind. And it's not that I don't love them, I do. But God called me to preach. And I cannot do it. I cannot do it without Him. And I know that. Everything that I say, He gives to me. He gives it to me in spite of my own self. And you know why? He does that. I want to believe because He loves me. And I also want to believe that just maybe that Faith Baptist Church as a whole, you may love me also. If we cannot do it out of love, it's no need doing it. It's no need doing anything if we cannot do it out of love. Oh yes, I want to see somebody come in. I want to see somebody just to be able to come in and just, before they even sit down, that the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts. And before they sat down, while I was preaching or whatever, that they'd come and bow right here at the altar. That they know that they've lived a life that they cannot change. Oh yes, they probably tried everything in the world to change. They probably have went to the AA meetings to try to give up drinking. Some of them may have been to the drug rehab center to kick the habit of the drugs. Maybe they went somewhere else and maybe they tried something else to help them. Because it was something that was going on in their head that was coming from the heart that they know is not right. I'm just longing to see somebody get saved. This day and time, is so few that does it. and they're so far between. Now, I say probably all of y'all, you've been saved a lot longer than I have. And you can remember the time that when you had services, or you went somewhere to a jubilee or something, and you see people come to the altar. You see people come to the altar and get saved. I've seen a little of it. But every year from that time on, it's getting fewer and fewer. Why? They say, I'm okay. I'm a good man. I'm a good lady. I don't abuse my family. I don't abuse people. I don't talk ugly. He said, well, you know, a while back, my neighbor's father had passed away. And I went to see them. And yes, and I carried some food over to them. All of that's good. Every bit of it's good. But it's not good enough to go to heaven. The goodness that we do and the goodness we've ever done don't matter to nothing. But one thing about it though, what we've done before we got saved, we just give our heart to God and save our soul and everything. Look at what we could do. I love each and every one of you. I do. You don't know how much. Maybe I don't maybe come to your house. I don't visit you, but like I maybe should. But I'd rather stand here and tell you that I love you and mean it than come and visit you. And that's it. I've never met people like you that are here. The faith that y'all have, the courage that y'all have, only thing I can say is it all comes from God. I know of larger churches that has three times the members that we have. But yet, when it comes down to paying all the obligations through the month, they can't meet it sometimes. And they don't even support missionaries. That's the reason we can do what we do. It's because of the missionaries. Because each one of us are missionary minded. And we must always remember that. The missionaries is what allows this church to keep on going. You know, we may not see many people come in, but I'm going to tell you, I hear more people on Facebook says that they saw our website and they enjoyed it. Just like the gentleman last Sunday, he stopped by, and it was because of the website. You know, and I know that a whole lot of people, I'm going to say this, and I am going to quit. How many times is that? But no, I can honestly say this, that I know that there are people, and there are churches, and there are preachers, that would not even have their church on a website. They says it's evil. I said, well, and I told one of them, I said, the individual that puts the evil stuff right there is because the individual is evil also. I said, yes, I believe in you. I believe in your website. I believe in putting it out there. Because, see, God gives somebody the ability to have it there for us, for the church. But see, because God knew that there was going to come a time when it was going to be a falling away. And we have to do all we can to get the gospel out of you. Well, I'll tell you, I will say this much, and I've never went on there, and I've never advocated it, and I will not advocate it. But everyone, I've seen in the last 6 months that I've seen on my Facebook, they have sent something to me, encouraging me and encouraging the church. And they say that they like the church. If every one of them, if they just send $5 a piece, when it comes June, we would be able to support the Jubilee. We would be able to have rooms up here at Super 8 or where they're at to put up all the preachers. And we'd have enough money also for the church to furnish their food. We have the people of that, and they say, I love you, church. I mean, I love and some things that y'all have done and some things which y'all say and everything's on the website. See, some of them, that's the only way that they can get anything. And a whole lot of them is overseas. But it doesn't make no difference. If there's a soul overseas that's lost, and if our website can introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's worth it. And I know some people are against the website. I understand. I can understand some of their points. But always remember that the Lord giveth, and the Lord will take it. Lord, give Faith Baptist Church the ability to have a website up. And the Lord has blessed Faith Baptist Church, I believe, two individuals that knows a whole lot about the designing of a website and putting the contents on it. that is biblical. And first of all, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Brother Bill. I want to thank you also, Sister Donna. I want to thank you for what y'all do in the website. And what you do, just think about them. Just think about all the blessings that God's going to store upon you. Just think about that individual when we all get to heaven. Bill's going to walk in. Donald's going to be right with him. Right? And they're going to have, they're going to be an individual come out. Might be a family, I don't know. Might be a family of three. Might be a family of four or five. I don't know how many. They come and say, I thank you. I thank you for putting up a website that I could look at all the way over here. Thank you for that. That's how I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not put God in a box and say that's all you can, that's all he will do for us. God will do so much for us, and he does every day. He does every day. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. We want to thank you, Father, for your touch this morning, God. And Father, we pray, Lord, for each one of the individuals that's here. And Father, for Sister Nancy that has already left and at work, Father. Lord, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just be with her. Give us strength and give her encouragement. And Father, I pray that maybe she can be able to speak about something. There's someone there that's at work that does not know you as a personal Savior. Father, that they can sense something, they can see something, they can feel something within our life. And they just don't wonder anymore. They will just come and ask them. Says there's something in your life that I cannot pinpoint. I don't know what it is. But I know that there's a change. Would you help me with it? In understanding what you have done to change the countenance and the walk and the desire that you have. And I pray, Father, Lord Jesus, when that happens, that she can just explain to them it's all about Jesus. And Father, we pray for the one other one that's here this morning. Lord, we just pray, Father, for them as they go to their homes. And Father, that you're rightly, Father, respect them and what they're trying to do. Father, I know sometimes we seem like that when this is what we want to do, and sometimes it seems like when we start doing it, it seems like to us it may be the wrong thing. But Father, we pray this day, Lord Jesus, that you'll help each one of us to do the right things. Where your Son, Jesus Christ, that he can be lifted up, he can be praised, and he can be glorified. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, and you will go with us this afternoon. Give us a good afternoon, a good rest, and, Lord, and bring us back this evening. And, Father, because we do not know what you have in store for us tonight until we get here. And, Father, I want to thank you, and I just want to tell you once again, I love you. Amen.